Next month is National Autism Awareness Month, and around and about Chattanooga, we'll be exploring autism each week in March. In this segment, I was joined by Dr. Karen Wigley to explore proposed changes to the definition of autism in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. Autism has been defined, redefined, changed, studied, understood, and misunderstood for about as long as the word has been coined. We're looking at a new change in the definition of an old condition.
With the publication of the fifth edition of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, what people call DSM-5, there have been proposed changes to the diagnosis of autism and autism spectrum disorders. Instead of having five separate categories under pervasive developmental disorders, which is what people commonly call autism spectrum disorders, they're collapsing four of those diagnoses into what is going to just be called autism spectrum disorders. At least this is the latest proposed criteria that they're going to use.
We'll start off with saying autism is not a disease. It is a condition. It is a difference in the way the brain processes stimulation, input, and output.
Correct. It is a neurodevelopmental disorder. It's exactly that, a difference in some of the structures of the brain, definitely the functioning of the brain and the development of the brain.
People that are born with autism, because it is something you're born with. It's not something you catch. It's not something you develop. It's in the very structure of your brain. They often experience a wide variety of things, anything from don't touch them, don't look at them, inability to control themselves in certain social situations. Everyone knows the movie Rain Man,
yes,
which is a very stereotypical autistic savant. But some people, it's just simply they don't have a lot of friends.
Yeah, it can amount to that. In adults or teenagers in particular, that's what it can look like to the outside world. It also affects how that person sees and understands the world, processes information around them, and uses that information to decide what to do. And that, in effect, results in difficulty maintaining friendships and relationships. Actually, it's in some cases gaining intimacy with people.
Let's look at what the previous definitions included. You had several levels of what was autism. Could you list them for me, please?
They're under a category called pervasive developmental disorders, and there is autism, there is Asperger's, which is a higher functioning, more verbal form of autism. There is childhood disintegrative disorder. The difference between that and typical or basic autism is that the child begins to develop typically and then they lose skills as they develop in age throughout life. Rett's disorder has typically been in this category, and that is a known genetic syndrome. That is going to be removed because it is its own thing. And the last category within the PDDs for DSM-4 and historically has been pervasive developmental disorder not otherwise specified. So that's a you're not quite fitting autism or Asperger's or childhood disintegrative disorder, but you have enough of the symptoms and characteristics to affect your daily functioning.
I think it's interesting that when you go to their website now, these proposed changes to make this autism spectrum disorder kind of a umbrella for all of these different types of autism, that's gone now for right now.
Correct. In the development of the new criteria, the American Psychiatric Association was putting up a lot of their proposed criteria, not just for autism, but for ADHD and bipolar disorder, several of the diagnostic categories, and getting feedback from professionals and the public. A lot of the changes they are proposing have been very controversial, and the proposed changes to the autism spectrum disorder diagnosis led to a lot of professionals conducting research to determine, will this include the same people we've already diagnosed, or will it exclude a lot of people who are already obtaining services and understanding themselves as autistic in some way? The controversy went on and on, lots of discussion, and then the authors took out everything, took down from the website all of the proposed criteria and ended the discussion. I guess I had to end somewhere before they publish.
Now, they haven't published yet, so we can only assume that these changes will still be there.
Correct. That's the best information we have is the last information we have. we can assume that they're likely going to use these categories at the next publication, which is due out later this year. Although that target date has changed quite a bit too. The last I read was May 2013.
This is important because a lot of federal funding, state funding, local nonprofit funding goes to services for people diagnosed with some form of autism. If this new category or this sweeping change in the definition of autism comes into place, how will that affect people already receiving services?
It shouldn't affect anybody who already has a diagnosis. I guess the term would be you're kind of grandfathered into the diagnosis, so you've already received that diagnosis. If you go get a reevaluation, you may get a different diagnosis based on the new criteria. I think that in the long run, it's going to affect people with new diagnoses as well as professionals who are being trained to diagnose this. I think that professionals who have already understood autism and kind of the core characteristic differences, the written criteria are not going to make as much of a difference in how they diagnose, at least until new measures are developed based on the new criteria, and only for those professionals who actually use standardized measures for diagnosing. A lot of physicians and pediatricians do not.
The buzzword in the news everywhere is the Asperger's connection. What was that previously considered?
Asperger's actually was defined by a German neurologist or pediatrician in the 1940s. His name is Hans Asperger's, and he defined Asperger's around the same time that Leo Kanner was defining autism. Nobody translated Asperger's criteria into English until the 1990s. And at that time, the professionals were recognizing, oh, look, this is similar to autism, has some of the core characteristics, but a little bit different constellation of them. So in 1993, the DSM-4 included Asperger's as a type of autism. Right now, the concern is that given the proposed new criteria for the DSM-5, a lot of people who have previously been diagnosed with Asperger's would be left off of the autism spectrum.
And what would that do for their services?
It would leave them out of a lot of services and supports that are known to be helpful and are known to help people with Asperger's grow into adults who can participate and function well in society and be contributing members.
We need to point out that Asperger's is typically very high-functioning individuals that just may have some differences in how they live their lives, but they can work, they can successfully maintain a home, drive cars, do everything just like everybody else can. They just have some differences in primarily social processing.
Generally, that's true. There are also, though, are a lot of people with Asperger's who, because of these difficulties, yes, they often can have a job and a family and a house, but they often have a lot more turmoil in their relationships, more divorces, or if they have been married, or difficulty maintaining long-term relationships, even though they want them. Also, much more frequent difficulty maintaining a job. Because of their social differences, they say and do things at the workplace that often look like insubordination or lack of being a team player with their coworkers, so that they do end up losing their jobs a lot more frequently than the typical population does. And most of the time, these people are aware of that, and it's very painful and difficult. Now, that's a generation of people who, the adults now, those are people who have not been diagnosed or received treatment. And the younger generation that's been diagnosed since 1993 with Asperger's are just coming into adulthood, and already there appears to be a better likelihood of them being successful in keeping jobs and maintaining relationships because they've had those earlier interventions and supports.
What type of intervention, what type of treatments are available?
Well, behavioral and cognitive behavioral interventions are often where people start, as well as speech therapy for people with more severe autism who have a lot of expressive and receptive language delays. That is imperative to get speech therapy. But for people with Asperger's, like we were talking about, who may have typical language development, it's also imperative for them because they have difficulty with social use of language. And understanding how we use language in a social situation So there's a lot of miscommunication for people with Asperger's that can be devastating, like I talked about, for these adults, perhaps losing jobs, not maintaining relationships.
Dr. Karen Wigley is a psychologist with the Chattanooga Autism Center. We will continue to explore a variety of topics concerning autism each week leading up to April, National Autism Awareness Month. For WUTC's Around and About, this is Rabbit.